like the stammering of an android gaining sentience, here comes the Rockin' Android Podcast. You are listening to episode 2 of the Rockin' Android Podcast. I am Adam Malecki, your host. With me today is Enrique Galvez, our founder. Say hello.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing today?
We got two special guests with us today. Some folks from angrybananas.com. Why don't you introduce yourself?
Oh, wow. My God, some really applauses.
Hi, everybody. You guys may know me. I'm the infamous Carlos, a.k.a. the boss man of angrybananas.com, and I'm here with our senior editor,
Jose Sanestume. I'm also one of the writers for Angry Bananas. I've been with them since not long after he started in July. Yep. One of the reasons I decided to join in is because there was a big emphasis that he was speaking about as far as community and going towards gaming events and gaming gatherings, and I thought that was pretty cool because I hadn't seen any website that was specifically devoted to that. So
yeah, just to let everybody know, our website does consist of everybody from California, but we do plan, I mean, anybody can be part of Angry Bananas, or the AB Army as we call it, but anybody can join. We talk about tournaments, events, we cover anything. We don't despise anything that's related to gaming, because I think everybody loves every type of gaming out there. I think there's no such thing as nobody liking games, because if you do, then you suck.
I agree.
So I mean, we're gonna have forums soon. Check us out. I mean, we have a widget. We have a lot of reviews up, video reviews. We try to have fun with it, so we're not trying to be all serious now. I think that's behind the past now. I think gaming should be all about fun, and if you like doing, then to go for it. If you like making games, then do it too. You know.
You guys have a Twitter? Or
yeah, we do. Check us out. It's twitter.com/angrybananas. You can also check us out on Facebook. Look us up, angrybananas.com. And then on MySpace, you can check us out at www.myspace.com/angrybananas.
Where did the name come from?
Actually, you know, it's a funny story. We came up with so many names before we chose that name.
Really?
And I remember discussing it with my wife. She's like, why? I spent literally 2 days trying to think of a name. I was like, everybody has like
two days he spent thinking of a name.
Because half the day I was playing games, and then the rest I was kind of trying to think of a name.
That's fair.
But I mean, in a sense, it was so funny because we didn't want to be, you know, everybody has generic names, like, you know, this gaming zone, this gaming this. Everything just gets lost in so much translation now. So I said, and my wife said, just call it Angry Bananas. And I was like, like a spark just came out of my head. I was like, holy crap, I gotta get that name. And there you go, that's what happened. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be with this.
I gotta admit,
name.
That's an original name too for a gaming site. I like it.
Yeah, it's kind of
it
weird.
It really calls attention to itself.
It does, because it's so funny when you talk to people, they're like, yeah, that's so weird. It gets stuck in my head. I don't know why. I'm like, that's why. That's why we came up with that.
As soon as I heard your name, I thought of Donkey Kong for some reason.
Right?
I don't know why. It just came to my mind.
Yeah, like it was weird though how we came with the name. I mean, I still to this day everyone's like, why did you call it that? You should have called it LA Gamers. I'm like, but see, that sounds
too generic.
It's too generic. Like, no, screw LA Gamers. I'm like, I'm cool with
everyone it. Always does that double look too. It's like, oh, so what's your website called? AngryBananas.com.
And they're like,
what? This is AngryBananas.
I'm like, do you guys hate bananas? And I always give them this answer. I'm like, maybe sometimes. I don't know. Whatever we feel like it.
Yeah, that's not an easy one to forget, too. Angry Bananas, yeah, it kind of sticks with you there.
Yeah, it does.
It's very cool. So how did you guys actually find out about the Rockin' Android games?
Actually, it was thanks to you guys. We had you on our MySpace account, and someone hit me up and said, hey, you're on our MySpace, but we saw that you guys do like reviews and stuff. Do you guys want us to send us a copy of it? And I was like, sure, why not? But then, again, someone automatically responds and goes, hey, I want to go ahead and invite you guys to this event we're having this week. At Little Tokyo. I was like, Little Tokyo and a gaming event. Perfect.
There you go.
I'm like, I gotta go. I think, what was it? The Second Street Jazz?
Yeah, Second Street Jazz. The place is Tune In Tokyo, which is a monthly J-pop, like, goth Lolita club.
Yeah.
And you guys are local to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's the good thing that we like about LA. It's just everything happens here.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, tends to see, oh, San Francisco has everything. I'm like, Yeah, some nice events, but LA gets all the love. I don't know.
I agree.
Yeah, but I mean, it was cool. I mean, we got there. I went in there not knowing what to expect because I just had my mind. I never really got into these games. Like, you know.
So I never really didn't open myself
to that until I got there. And Jose was like, "Yeah, I kind of know, kind of familiar with it because I played it. He played the Suguri, which was kind of weird because he was kind of explaining to me, and I was like, really, if it's kind of like Gundam mixed in with like some fast, and okay, maybe I'll dig it. And I remember, you know, I met you, you know, you were like, yeah, go try it out, go check it out, man. So
he came in here, he was going to shoot us down, but then he played the game.
Yeah, I did, got him into it, won him over. And then after that, I was like, wow, I could really dig the fact that there's like a multiplayer and an adventure mode, and it has a CD for $20. I'm like, and it's a like a retail copy. Yeah, I can dig it. Like, I'm not gonna like shy away from that. That's a good deal. Like, you know, when you asked us, you were like, would you guys want a retail or like a downloadable content? I was like, nah. Like, like downloading it doesn't feel like you really own it. You just download it, right? Yeah, it's in your computer.
But we gave you a copy.
Yeah, no, I know, and it was cool because I mean, we were tripping. I was like, yeah, you think about it, like. People really don't want to go to that whole download on demand thing. I don't know.
Personally, yeah, I love it, actually. I'm one of the people who's really behind the whole DLC thing. I don't like how overbearing the copy protection can be in some cases.
Yeah, I mean, that's
so I don't mind it, and I think it's a good idea for some, but like for me, I've always felt it doesn't feel right if I don't own the actual physical copy. And with games or with books, like with the Kindle, I'd love to get a Kindle, but
I want that physical copy.
Yeah.
So it was the same thing with the game. And
do you think that's something that people just need to get past, like the fact that they're just so used to having something tangible in their hands?
Yeah, I think I think because people feel now, especially these days, that everyone's like, oh, you know, how's the game? They're like, oh, it's cool. And like, do you have some like a borrow it or something? Everybody always asks that question.
Yeah,
can I borrow that game?
Because they just want to
try
it.
And now, I mean, with this whole. Oh, everything needs to be like downloaded now. It's kind of cool in a sense. Like it's there, it's faster.
Yeah,
you don't have to go to a store anymore. Everyone's kind of in a rush now, but it kind of sucks when you're like, oh hey, bring that game. I'm like, yeah, I can't. You know, just kind of kills it sometimes.
Yeah, but it's tough for us as a publisher because you know, there's two sides of that coin. For us, it's probably better not to actually produce a product and actually go through manufacturing and deliver it to you digitally.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we also like having a physical product too. And we understand from what we experienced with our first game release, physical sales outnumbered digital download sales by a wide margin.
Yeah.
So while still people are downloading our games, people would actually rather order it from our site and have the physical thing. So
and that's good because then it settles everybody's like discussion if you have the like the download and the physical copy because everyone's like, okay, I could just
if you have both, but how long is that going to last?
Yeah, that's the thing too.
But it was another 2-3 years.
But the good thing about it, I mean, even if you have the hard copy, somebody eventually will pass it on to somebody else because they don't want it, and then that person picks it up and is like, holy crap, it's a really good game.
Right.
And then from there, it just expands. It's that whole like, it's like if nobody plays Psychonauts, you know, nobody picked up Psychonauts when it came out until later on.
You could buy it used for like 10 bucks now.
Like 10 bucks now, and everyone's like, "Oh my god, Tim Schafer is like the person," but everybody just grabs it now. It's like, wow! I was like, whoa! I didn't see that coming in a while.
Yeah, thanks to Brutal Legends.
It's like Psychonauts is now like getting picked up from like all these stores. It's weird, but I mean, that's how it kind of works out.
And it kind of worries me too, because digital market kind of cuts out the whole like after like used market.
Yeah,
because that's going to be gone soon, you know.
I mean, eventually that's what they're trying to do: eliminate what is double GameStop. But you know, it's you know, it in a sense. I mean, everybody's finding a way to sell stuff now. Like everyone's doing like eBay or Amazon because they don't want to get cut from anybody now. I mean, everybody's kind of saying, "Well, I bought this game." But, you know, like when it's Madden, they'll be like, oh, I just bought this Madden.
Yeah.
How come it's 10 cents now? It's like,
yeah,
it's because the guy comes out like every year.
That is a good point.
I mean, even with like with Suguri and stuff, like you think about it, someone eventually will be like, oh, okay, I'm not going to play it anymore, but I'm going to give it to somebody who'll probably be interested.
Right.
And that's how word gets further along.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to all games. Like someone will be so bored with it, or not even bored, just be done and be like, here, dude, I'll let you borrow it.
Yeah.
That's how
absolutely. We all let our friends borrow our games and we like it.
And then they'll just get addicted, and then that's how word spreads out.
Yeah.
The upside of DLC, though, is it costs us less to put out DLC.
Yeah.
And for that reason, we can put it out for cheaper in many cases.
Which is a true point.
Yeah.
Very good point you make.
Yeah. It's just what is hardest is, like, you know, making people actually want to go and download it. I think that's the hardest part.
Well, this is such a big debate that's been going on for so long.
Yeah,
yeah. All the publishers I've been talking to have been said that their sales on digital download are soft.
Yeah.
Really?
So, yeah.
Well,
smaller indie ones. Of course, if you have marketing muscle behind you, of course.
Yeah.
If you're going to be on the front of Steam, Direct2Drive, and all those are wonderful sites as well.
Yeah.
And great for independent publishers like us, you know.
Yeah.
But they need to push the types of titles that we're carrying.
Yeah, I think if it wants to be like the main thing for DLC later on, I think that's what needs to happen. I think publishers need to be behind it 100% of the way. I think they just shy away from it because of all the other stores they're kind of dealing with, and since they give them like a profit,
right.
Like, hey, you guys are like really promoting the crap out of this game, and then when it comes to like, you know, the DLC like Steam and stuff, they don't really push it as often. But I mean, even up to then, I mean, you could look at Left 4 Dead. I mean, nobody was expecting Left 4 Dead to even make it that big. Everyone's like, it's another zombie game, another this. Like, nobody was doubting that. Everybody was doubting that game for a little bit. And then look at it now. I mean,
look,
it's like really popular on Steam, and even other games are going ahead. Even the new Rocket Knight's going on to Steam.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah, the new Rocket Knight's going to go on to Steam as well, which is pretty cool, because now you're seeing... Now you're seeing companies like now you get Street Fighter through Steam now. You're seeing all these developers now like really pushing it with trying to get games on Steam. I guess because it's more convenient and it's a lot faster for them to grab on.
Well, just from what talking to Steam, we're actually not being carried through Steam at the moment. We're actually talking to them right now. But it seems like since they're developers as well, they think that way. They think, okay, this is the publisher who's going to be working with us. What can we make it? How can we make it easier for them on the back end?
Yeah.
So just talking to them alone, we're excited about working with them. They have a very well set up infrastructure.
I mean, they do, and they really push themselves out when like they comes to, like, the video games. You can tell like that's the one place I could kind of say that they really like to push DLC games to like really be the number one thing now. And kind of demote, you know, having to go to a store now.
It does help that they are developers. I do like Direct2Drive too, though.
Yeah.
But
it's pretty nice.
They're all, you know, they all have their pros and cons.
Yeah, they do. I mean, but, you know, I think that's a good way for indie companies to kind of spread the word about that.
Especially for a company.
Yeah, especially if, like, even anybody, with just one guy who said, nah, I really want to push this game out, but I can't publish it, I can't do anything, it's best just to go that way.
Yeah.
It's more efficient, and, I mean...
It's a lower overhead for the publisher.
Yeah.
But then again, you're probably not going to get the same sales as if you were actually producing a physical product.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's very debatable. I'm 50-50 on that one myself.
I'm, 70? I'm like
70-30.
I'm a sucker for collector's edition. I'm sorry.
They like getting the little figures. And
I just like
the art book in there.
You know, I like good... collector's editions. I don't crappy ones, you know? Like, if it comes with a shirt, I'm like, it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah. I had to pre-order Knights in the Nightmare because it came with this beautiful art book that's, like, thick and actually... Sometimes they'll say, like, art book, and they give you, like, this little flyer, and you're like...
I've seen those, and they're really...
But I'll give props to Atlas for that. Persona 4 came out, they busted out a nice little book with it as well.
Yeah. You can't even deny Devil Summoner.
No.
2. I actually bought it, and I was like, oh my god, this is a cool box. You get a nice box, a little figure, a little plushie. The game, I'm like, whatever, I'll get it.
See, like I said, I'm a sucker for that. I recently bought Devil Summoner, and I had to buy the one with the little stuffed animal in it.
Can't go wrong with
it. Can't go wrong with that. It's cool.
You can't go wrong. But see, I don't like when it's like, you know... stuff like, oh, get this cool exclusive downloadable content on your Xbox, and then you get it. I'm like, wait, I gotta unlock this guy already. Like, why did you get... Nah,
we're doing that with Ultimate Alliance a lot. Like,
you could download, apparently, it was the Hulk and Thor.
Yeah, there was two characters.
Yeah, but you could already unlock them as you.
You got them earlier in the game than you were supposed to.
Yeah.
And if.
So it's like, pay money to break the balance of the game.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Just do it.
The only thing with me, though, is like, if there's a collector's edition or an if there's a different edition than just the standard one available, I'm just a sucker for it. I'll just go for the fancier edition, even if it's not worth it.
If you're really into a game series or you're really interested in a game, like, why not? Because if you don't get it, you might think, like, oh, man. man, I really love this game. I wish I had gotten the collector's edition. Yeah. And now they're not around anymore.
Yeah. There's a funny collector's edition just came out. Everybody's probably already bought this game. It's the Batman Arkham Asylum.
Oh yeah.
With the, you got the Batarang?
With the Batarang and stuff like that. Yeah. I have a couple of friends who bought it.
I mean, how cool is that to have, like, on the big official battering.
I hear it's mounted to the stand, though.
It is quite mounted.
You know what's weird about
this? No, you cannot kill anybody with it.
And you know what sucks? They had it. They had really. They had a die cast at one point, and then they no, you can't make it because that's an official weapon. And so they're like, change it.
Come on, look at the audience. They're selling it.
Dude, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Like.
Who was it that put out Brass Knuckles as a...
Oh, The Godfather 2.
They got it, yeah.
They did that one.
They sent out Brass Knuckles.
Nice!
That was to the press. The press.
And they had to do a recall.
Awesome.
Yeah, because technically they were sending out actual weapons by mail. Yeah. So.
And they started calling it like a brass curio. I think I heard this on the Joystick podcast.
Oh my god.
Because like they didn't want to call it Brass Knuckles.
That was so funny, dude.
Alright, so... what have you guys been playing? Let's start with Jose.
I've been playing Muramasa, and I've also been playing Flying Red Barrel Girl.
So both
of which I'm playing because, you know, I'm going to do a review on them. And Flying Red Barrel Girl, I just started playing a couple of days ago, and it's fun. It's just insanely hard.
It sure is.
It's really hard. So it's definitely, if you're into like really hard games like that, it's something you've got to pick up. And it's a fun game overall. I'm not finished with it yet. But it's, like I said, it's a fun game. I like it.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I like the chaining system with the missiles.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And for all those who haven't seen the game, it's very cute. It looks like it's drawn with crayons, but it is incredibly hard, so it is a bullet hell shooter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But it's a really cute one, though, and I think the guys that like Parodius, all the gamers that like old school shooters, will love this game. But please, go ahead.
Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. Like, one of the big things that interests me is it's the same people that did Suguri. And it's another game, if you check out our website, I love that game. And it really interested, when I found out it was the same guy as Suguri, I was like, oh, Carlos, I have to review this game.
Now, when you say Suguri, you mean both games, Acceleration and the first one, or just the first
both
one?
Games.
Okay.
Both games.
All right.
Yeah, and that's from publisher Orange Juice.
Both. So I've been playing Crash Course, the new DLC that just came out for Left 4 Dead.
Oh, nice.
I just finally finished the whole campaign on Rock Band Beatles.
Nice.
So that was nice.
How'd you like that?
I really dig it. I think that's been the best game based on a band. Screw all this, like, Van Halen crap. I think that's the worst thing. I really think that Harmonix did their homework on this one. Like, I know that Lego Rock Band's coming out, but just kind of ignore that one for a little bit.
Yeah.
But if you really look at, I mean, you don't have to be a big Beatles fan. I'm a big Beatles fan, but I went in there playing saying, okay, all this, like, I gotta just forget about the Beatles and just play through it. And it's weird, man. It's enjoyable. I mean, there's times where you'll be playing some songs and it just goes to like a really trippy transition. Like, I Am the Walrus has the trippiest.
Oh, about that.
Yeah, it has the trippiest scene in the background. Sometimes
they're called the Dreamscapes.
Yeah, the Dreamscapes. Yeah. And sometimes you want to stop playing it because you want to see it. And then you're like, but I'm playing a guitar. So that's what I do. I just sing it.
Yeah.
I said, I'm more of a singer in Rock Band. So I'll be singing and just see everything. You'll be like, wow, they really just sat down with everybody from Apple and said, okay, what the hell were they smoking at this time? what shrooms were they eating? And what they were watching? Because we want to get all that in there.
And when you say Apple, you mean Apple Records.
Apple Records.
I can only imagine the game stages for like the White Album songs.
That's when
they were most intoxicated.
Yeah, like it's weird though, because they'll be sitting down in a studio in Abbey Road Studios. They'll just be sitting down and it starts off with them just playing. And then out of nowhere, it just goes into a dream. Like, the walls fall, and then, like, out of nowhere, everything starts just goes out of control. It's just pretty fun.
That's cool.
As far as Left 4 Dead, the new DLC, I'm really digging that, too. I think Valve has really kind of said, you know, they're doing a lot of updates for Team Fortress 2, and I guess now they're just kind of saying, okay, we can't ignore the Xbox 360 users. Like, yeah, we're providing the PC users all this content and all this stuff, but we gotta go ahead and like provide them, or else they're gonna attack us. Because the whole thing with Left 4 Dead 2 coming out,
all the haters
just really caused them like, what the hell? Like, now you're not gonna support Left 4 Dead 1 because everybody's still playing that one. But I mean, Crash Course is really ridiculously hard, even on the easiest setting. I'm not kidding. It's
really,
if you're expecting like, oh, I'm just gonna kill zombies, I'm like, no, no. There's tanks. There's boomers. There's smokers. There's everything you can think of just coming at you ten nice. Times worse.
Wow.
So it's pretty fun. Two chapters. You could get done with it 17 minutes, but I mean it's. It's okay.
Good.
I can't wait for the next one.
On normal, I found some of the other campaigns a little too easy.
Yeah, this one is a little bit harder because there's a lot more cars. And the tanks are not nice with cars. Because once they knock you out with that car, you're dead. You're automatically dead, and it just sucks. But, I mean, that's the I love that frustration because it kind of gives me another way to be more strategic on the next time I die. But it's cool because, I mean, there'll be times where, you know, there'll be no zombies, and I don't know where the AI just says, no. You're having too much fun, and just tosses like three tanks, four boomers, and it starts going no, no, no. Have fun with this. Have fun with this, and then everything just goes black after that because you're like, what just happened? I don't even know. I was shooting something, and now I'm dead. Great, that's a good game.
It sounds like your kind of game, Adam. I think you'll be downloading that pretty soon.
It's worth the 800 points. I'll just tell you that.
Actually, personally, I tend to go for more action puzzle games, stuff that's really kind of out there.
Well, what are you playing right now?
I was about to say that I've been playing an iPhone game a little bit more. I got it a while back, but I didn't really touch it all that much until it got an update. It's actually free, so anyone who has an iPhone can get it. It's called Jimny Chimney, which is a weird name. But it's sort of like almost like Geometry Wars kind of game. You have a little box. You drag it around on the screen, but you can touch up to four other parts of the screen with different fingers at the same time and shoot in any of those four directions simultaneously while dragging the box around.
Nice.
So you're shooting in up to four directions, and it's got some various modes, like one makes the bullets bounce off the edge of the screen and stuff. But it's really simple, but it's addictive, and I love multi-touch games on the iPhone because no other system really right now is doing those. I mean, maybe if you have a PC that has a multi-touch screen and you find some game that supports it, but how common is that?
Even the DS can't.
The DS is not the same.
That. And it reminds me of my favorite iPhone game, Ellis, which is another multi-touch game. So I've been digging that. Other than that, I'm still playing Knights in the Nightmare, still obsessed with that game. I reviewed Metroid Prime Trilogy recently.
That's nice. Right. Yeah.
And that's second favorite game series
of
all time.
That I think when they went ahead and beat that, I think that was the best idea ever. I'm not as excited when I heard Team Ninja's doing the next Metroid.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I really do hope,
make
another Prime, because I really think Prime a lot.
I don't trust them with Samus as a character, because their whole objectification of women and stuff.
Because make them all ninja, you know?
It seems like it could be cool. From what I've seen, it looks like it could be, if you take Ninja Gaiden, put in guns, make it more exploration-based. It sounds like it could be good, especially if they throw in more first-person, because I did like the Prime games. I prefer the 2D Metroid games, but the Prime games are excellent as well.
And they actually played really, really well on the Wii.
Oh, yeah. Prime Trilogy, they added in the Wii controls for the first two as well, and that works really great. The only downside of the Trilogy is that, well, there's a couple. One is that all the games have the same kind of generic title screen now. They cut out the title screen. Goes right into the game, which is okay. But they also removed some of the graphical effects from the first one. Like when you fired the ice cannon or the ice beam, her cannon would freeze over and ice would come off. It doesn't do that anymore.
Wow. Yeah. That used to be so cool.
But the reason, I believe, is that now, because you're aiming with the Wiimote, her cannon is actually moving around on the
faster.
Screen.
Yeah.
And I guess the effects in the original were actually just a static 2D image placed over the screen.
Gotcha.
And I mean, that's what I read. I don't know if that's true. It's a good theory. So I can kind of forgive it, but come on, guys, how hard is it to model some ice crystals in 3D?
That is kind of nice.
You know?
Yeah. I'm going to throw this one in here. $50 for all three games, right?
Yeah.
That's exactly. Also a steal, too.
Yeah, so. Exactly. That's how I ended my review. Like, yeah. If it sounds like I'm being nitpicky, congratulations, you're right, because I am. This is a great deal. Yeah,
it is a good deal.
And the multiplayer from Metroid Prime 2 is in there with the Wii controls added.
Oh, really?
So I tried with my friend, and that works great. I mean, it's Metroid Prime multiplayer, which is still kind
of... Well, back in the day when I first got my Wii...
It's still cool.
It's still, okay.
Yeah.
But when I first got my Wii, the multiplayer for even, like, Mario Kart and a few other games were kind of weak. It loading times, it took a little longer.
This works great.
Okay.
The loading times also are improved on the single-player games.
I would like to try that, actually.
Yeah, it comes highly recommended. But, and now you, sir...
Ah, what am I playing?
I've been very busy, I know.
Yeah, even though I've been very busy, I try to make time for games like Muramasa.
As you should.
As I should. I've been playing Muramasa now for 11 hours, and I think that is one of the coolest new next-gen like 2D games out there at the moment.
Yeah.
Shadow Complex also comes to mind, although I played that very little. Muramasa's aesthetic, beautiful artwork, animation, control on the Wii. It's just a beautiful game to behold. Great game to play. The other game I've been playing a lot is, and I'm not trying to be biased here, but we're about to release Gundamonium Collection next month, so we've been playing a lot of those lately.
Yeah, we're going to get a little preview.
You can get a little preview of that pretty soon, too.
Sorry, guys, you guys can't see it yet.
My iPhone, I downloaded the Metal Gear Solid Ops, what is it called?
Oh, it's Metal Gear Solid Touch.
Touch. Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that's cool.
Cool game. Cool mechanics.
It's
simple.
It's a little bit more like a Time Crisis.
Absolutely.
I would have liked if they added in more stealth because.
Well, that's what Metal Gear is all about.
Exactly.
But for what it is for an iPhone game, I found it incredibly fun to play.
It
was like $4.99 or so.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing so far, at least this month.
Well, that's good. That's a nice selection. So how about we talk a little bit about what's coming up with Angry Bananas? You got anything?
Yeah, we'll be going and covering this tournament going on, Street Fighter 4 tournament. They're called UGTL. You can check them out, theugtl.com. We'll be there covering the event, and we'll also be posted there showing videos of our recent more video reviews we've done and a couple sketches we've done here and there. As far as that, we'll be implementing the forums up soon. I know I'm supposed to get your banner up, too.
Yep.
That's my bad. But I already got it, though.
You got to send us your banner now.
I will.
Get the banner
I certainly will. As far as everything, we're looking into more reviews, more videos. Hopefully we can make a video with you guys. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah,
that's what we're looking to, you know, possibly do something. We'll talk
about that. Let's talk about that.
We don't need people to know about this
but it's a little behind the scenes there.
Behind the scenes. But we're going to see what we can do out there as far as anything. I know. Are you guys going to be at PMX?
We are going to be at PMX.
Oh, when did you give
Rock and Android? Right? Yeah. PMX is actually. Let me look at.
Enrique just got up. Okay, now he's sitting
there. Sorry, everybody. Had to go look at the flyer. PMX is Pacific Media Expo coming up November 6th through the 8th at the LA Hilton. It's a local show here in Los Angeles. They have anime, manga, J-rock, J-pop concerts, video games, Korean drama, Asian cinema, a little bit of everything. So, yeah, we'll have a panel, and we'll also be showing off our games so you can come and play the demos. So if you're in the local area, please come and visit.
Yep. So we'll be covering the event as well, so we might bump into Enrique as well. As far as that, I mean, just link us out. We post news daily, so news that's important in the gaming news. You know, so we're trying to make it short, simple, to the point, and get you in and out, because everybody's in a hurry these days.
Yeah.
So we don't want you to read, like, a full chapter or something that just takes 1 minute to read. So we're just trying to cut that time, get you on to the day, and do your gaming business, because you don't want to be behind your gaming news, or else your friends will help. We'll hustle you. There you go, Try to snipe you around. Like, why you didn't hear?
So we've done some good conversation here. Yeah. Why don't we close out with a bit of some games that we're excited about coming up?
Ooh, okay. I'm raising my hand right now.
Go for it.
I just announced that. I don't know if everybody in the podcast heard, but Toei and Tecmo just announced a Fist of the North Star kind of Dynasty Warriors game.
Oh, wow.
And it is awesome. Right. I just saw a video of it. I guess it was like a press release in Japan. And I saw it, and I was like, okay.
When did they announce that?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay.
That's and right. I saw it, and I was like, I saw the video. There's no sound to the video yet. You can still find it on YouTube before they take it out, but we posted it on our site, but it's sick. I'm not kidding you. Like, I saw the graphics. Look nice.
Oh,
it takes place wait. More of the AMV time. It does not. It's not really like the old school Fist of the North. I don't know yet, but apparently it's the AMV ones, and I didn't see any blood at the beginning, and I was giving my hopes up. I was like, no. They're doing like a Dynasty Warriors, not going to be any gore. And then, son of a bitch, you see him kick somebody so hard, and you just see him explode. I was like, tears to my eyes came. I was like, finally a good Fist of the North Star game.
Nice.
And actually saw him do his, like, you know, his poking, his little crazy poke technique. And then you just see the guy just blow up. I was like,
well,
awesome.
I'm a little curious, Carlos, if you've ever played the fighting game that came out in Japan a couple of years ago.
Is that
ago.
The arcade one where you, like, punch it?
Oh, my God.
I love that one.
I can't remember the developer right now, but I played it last April.
You should get a Family Arcade to have it there.
They have it there.
They took it from...
Family Arcade is in Los Angeles.
Yes, by the way. LA. They took it from Arcade in Little Tokyo. They took that machine from there.
Oh, nice.
And then they brought it over.
I didn't even know we had one out here.
Yeah.
I played it out there. You know, I gotta say, it wasn't a great game, but it was... It was Fist of the North Star.
I know. How cool is it to, like, punch, like just...
Okay, I'm going to throw this one at you. Like, 5 years ago, I went with my friend out there, right? And in Japan, it's called Hokoto no Ken. Mm-hmm. They had created this machine where you would have to punch it physically.
Mm-hmm.
What do you call it? It's like a boxing machine.
Yeah, that's
you hit it, and you have to do, like, da-da-da-da-da-da real fast and stuff. It's really
so
fun.
That is so awesome, man. And you got to see the animation. It was just... Old school.
It's about time we get a game like that out here.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'm glad.
Well, now I'm excited about that too.
Yeah, definitely. Awesome. And it's cool because I really do hope they have, like, alternate skins, and they have Raoul. They have. I'm so freaking out and geeking out. I'm a big Fist of the North Star fan.
Yeah, anime fan here.
Yeah.
Otaku.
So I really do hope they make a good. They do a good job on this, and it's not all Super Dynasty Warrior out. Cause
yeah,
then that really sucked.
Yeah,
but even though, and I don't know how it's gonna come
some
out.
Some people
here.
Love those.
You know what? Some I don't even know how they're on, like, on the 15th, or I don't even. I lost count. I lost
I
count.
They're on 7.
Oh, dude, correct me. No, just kidding.
I have an ex who collects all of them. Just loves the series. She loves repetition, guys.
Well, yeah, there you more go. Power to
yeah.
So Jose.
Just as far as new games coming out, I guess Left 4 Dead 2 when that hits stores. Brutal Legend I haven't checked out yet, but I can't wait to play.
Oh yeah,
it looks
sounds
like
good.
It's gonna be amazing. And then that RPG we were talking about earlier.
Yeah,
that you talked
that
about,
was
like,
gonna be one of mine as well. Half Minute Hero.
Never heard of it until you talked about it, and I saw, like, the videos for it, and I was blown away. I want to check it out so badly now.
It's actually based on a Dojinsoft game, called Hero 30 or Yusha 30. It's like if you took an RPG and condensed it down to 30 seconds, and that's how the original Dojinsoft game is. But they expanded that into each, I guess, stage of the game is actually supposed to be like a sequel to the. It's like a new RPG, but so they're not actually necessarily 30 seconds long. You start out with 30 seconds on the clock, and then it starts to tick down. And you can do stuff like go to these little goddess statues that will increase your
time
back up to 30 or whatever. And it's not just a traditional RPG. It's also there's strategy RPG. There's kind of like a shmup type one, and I'm blanking on the...
So different modes, too.
Oh, I think there's like kind of like a king, like a sim type game.
Nice.
So it's the four different modes, and they're all based around this, like, 30-second timer thing. It sounds excellent. Like, in the RPG, when you're attacked, it just automatically attacks for you based upon whatever level you are, what equipment you have. You get into a random encounter, and he just starts running at the enemy until they die.
Kind of like Persona 4, right? Like, when you were over a certain amount of, like, level, the bad guys won't even bother, but you already got the experience.
Because
they just skip that whole battle thing.
A little bit like that, except you fight them no matter what.
Okay.
I don't know. I think in some cases you might be able to run or hit a button to use an item. I'm not sure. Mm. I mean, obviously, I've only played the demo, so... Okay.
No, this game, just a quick question here. This game is coming out for it. It's a digital download.
It's going to be both. It's going to be a disc release, I think, this week.
Okay.
I think it might be in stores today, possibly. But a week later, it's going to be DLC. That's what I read a little while back. So I don't know if that's still the plan.
DLC for the PSP Go?
For PSP in general. But yeah, also Go.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm... Really excited about that. I think A Boy and His Blob just came out. That looks cool. The original NES game was really difficult because you had limited jelly beans.
Oh my god, the running effects on that thing are bad. I actually went back and I went to go play the NES one. I was like, I don't know, but I'm like, okay, yeah, this new version, definitely better than this one. Well, yeah, but I mean, if I play the NES one, it's just, I don't know, the running effects on it is just funky. It's like so hard, like, the guy can barely just stop. It's like, and I'm like, we turn back, I'm like, ugh. But then again, I mean, I only played it for 10 minutes before I was tired of it. I was like, I'll play it for another time.
The thing that got me is that I was like, well, if I can run out of these jelly beans, then, like, what if I need to use this thing later on? Yeah. Am I just done? I would have no idea that I'm stuck?
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, I'm sure that they've done a lot to fix those kind of issues. I think my understanding is kind of I hate this term, Metroidvania, but I hate that term. Somebody needs to come up with a better term than that.
Vania toy? I'm just coming.
Well, Castleroid is another
Castle
one.
Castleroid,
that's
yeah.
not fair because Metroid came first in the whole.
Yeah. Oh, did you guys hear about the new remake on the one of the Castlevania games?
Yeah, of Kojima?
Yeah. No, it's.
No, that's.
That's Judgment, I think, right? That's the one he's working on.
Yeah, that's the one. No, but you're talking about a 2D side scroller.
Yeah, the 2D one they just remade.
No, Judgment was the fighting game.
No, yeah, you were a Judgment one.
No, but there's another one coming out that I heard announced.
Kojima's also doing one, I'm blanking on the name.
Me too. But we all know about it.
Yeah, but there's one that they just announced.
It's a remake?
Or? Rebirth. It's called Castlevania Rebirth. It's a GBA version. It's the Game Boy. Actually, I'm sorry. It's the Game Boy original Castlevania Adventures 2. Actually, I just saw it talking about the one.
Really?
They had a Famitsu magazine just kind of put it out.
Because there's also Gradius Rebirth and Contra Rebirth on the Wii. So it's in, I think, that sort of series of...
The Rebirth series.
The Rebirth series.
Everything's being rebirth.
On WiiWare.
Yeah.
Everything's being rebirth.
Rebirth.
Released the Rebirth of Sugi next year.
Oh my god, Rebirth Sugi in 3D. With 3D glasses.
Well, it's not a Konami game, but maybe they'll buy it from us.
Maybe we could be slapping Rebirth with some 3D glasses and a collector's box.
Oh, now you're thinking.
There you go, 3D glasses. Maybe we could have like a purple wig or something.
We could give you a lightsaber too.
I have this jetpack.
I don't think we should be recording this because this is too good.
Yeah, $150 box set.
Okay.
We don't want people to steal our ideas.
No.
Blow up doll, don't forget about that.
Don't. I want that wave.
Hey, real quick before we go, thank you everybody for listening to us, by the way. I wanted to talk about a game from the Team Vigil Studios. Have you guys heard of Darksiders?
Yes.
That's the game I'm waiting for.
Oh, okay.
And of course, a new game which escapes the name Guardian something from the team that created Ico. Which I saw,
The Last Guardian, that looks amazing.
Those two games.
I wasn't big on Ico. I didn't give it a big enough chance, but Shadow of the Colossus.
Loved it.
Yeah. Oh, Shadow of the Colossus.
If you haven't played Shadow of the Colossus, do yourself a favor and play it. I'm not kidding you.
Yes.
You haven't seen like.
Turn off the lights, get into it, get the volume up, because it's just a beautiful game.
If you're like me and you see kind of a Lord of the Rings aesthetic and you're like, Don't just ignore that. Yeah, just play the game. It's amazing. Yeah. The gameplay is unlike anything else because I think I've heard somebody refer to it as inverted dungeons because you're crawling around on the outside of these giant things instead of crawling around on the inside of these giant things.
But no one can bitch about the bosses. That's all I'll tell you. The boss fights are epic.
Colossus?
Just wait till the third one. That's all I'll tell you guys. Sometimes it gets a little hard, but man, is it worth just beating
it. I want to say my favorite one, but I don't want to do spoilers, so...
Anyway,
I'd like to thank our listeners for tuning in. I'd like to thank
Carlos
and Jose for and we will catch y'all later. Thank you for listening. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe to our MySpace, our Twitter, our Facebook, and our mailing list. It's called the Rockin' Android Club on our website, rockinandroid.com. And visit angrybananas.com.
Yeah.
All right. See you later, guys.
Laters.
And as before, we're going to be closing out with a song. This is Impact from the Acceleration of Suguri soundtrack.